The Fan.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
You like that? You like that? No! Oh my heavens! You like that? You like that? No!
Allen, a superstar, bursting onto the scene.
You like that? You like
the
that?
The game is over.
Play around with a bad football team, bad things happen.
Football Feast.
9 to noon.
Time for two more.
P.A.
Just listen.
Not much else to say.
Just listen.
Go.
Hey, 9 to noon in the neighborhood, 902. Tuesday. Love Covenant, Bryant Heating and Cooling Studios, FM 100.3 KFAN, Paul Allen, let's cuddle up, have a good time.
It's a shame, the way you mess around with.
Hold on to your butt.
It's a shame, the way you hurt me. It's a shame, the way you mess around with your man. I'm sitting
Hi, Paul.
You watched the Wild game on TV last night?
I did indeed.
Before she departed, did you get the opportunity to say goodbye to Carly Aplin-Zucker?
I always love that one.
I always say good morning to Carly when she's in here. Yes, Carly Zucker, indeed.
Hi, Ms. Zucker. Good to see you, Ms. Zucker. I mean, that's how your last name is pronounced, right? That's what I heard 8 million times on NBC Sports Network last night.
Zucker this, Zucker that.
Yeah, Zucker. Zucker, Zucker, Zucker. The last name, my man, rhymes with hooker. The last name rhymes with looker. The last name rhymes with booker. It's not Zucker. All right? And it was bugging the hell out of me last night. So I reached out to Wild informants. Members of said squad passed the message to the box on the microphone. Thought in the third period it would change. Nothing changed. We got outskated and still had a guy on our team with the last name of Zucker.
Okay.
So, Carly Aplin-Zucker, a pleasant good morning to you. And a pleasant good morning to all of you. We thought the mispronunciation of the last name, Jason Zucker, was our biggest problem last night. Nah. How about last night in the neighborhood?
Crowd booing as Couture will move across the Minnesota blue line. Moves in on Dubnyk. He shoots. He scores. He's successful on the penalty shot. Logan Couture adds to his goal total as the Sharks bump their lead now to 3-0. And for Couture, that's goal number 24.
Holy bleep. We thought the mispronunciation of the name Zucker Zucker was the biggest problem we had last night. Wild got housed at home by the Sharks. Then the news pops. Anthony Barr is off to New Jersey to play with the woebegone New York Jets.
Ryan Tannehill's under center. Kalen Bulaj with a 75-yard touchdown run the single set. Danny Amendola slot right. Receivers left and right. Kenny Stills in motion to the right on first down. Tannehill under a blitz, and he's sacked by Anthony Barr, who has two today and three on the season.
While Vlasic was putting us in a pickle, Jets defensive coordinator Greg Williams gets our guy Anthony Barr. We reportedly did house defensive tackle Shamar Stephen. More on that next segment. More on everything next segment. All right? Don't kill the messenger. Ain't nothing but a bunch of sadness in this opening segment from your buddy Pollyanna Allen. Sadness in that, I mean, with Anthony Barr leaving, it's not like it's a super special paramutual puzzler that completely blows away 9 to noon. Nah, when they didn't franchise him, it's something about which Elite Football Minds had chatted for a while. But now that he's gone, it's okay to miss him. It's okay to miss him for many reasons. Reportedly, now with Greg Williams, boy, we sure like him, and the New York Jets. So here comes Big Fundamental. Chat about him at 9:15. Chat about everything at 9:15. Why, with the hockey team led by number 16, Jason Zucker, Why the hell can the Wild not win at home? San Jose went wild on us the way we went wild on the Tampa Lightning at Tampa. I mean, thank God the Speedy Hawks beat Arizona. What happened to home sweet home for the Minnesota Wild? I mean, I think the record's 14-14-6.
They've had one win, I believe, in their last 9 or 10 games. One win maybe in the last 2 months at XL Energy Center. That's where they're supposed to play at their best. That's where the crowd of 19,000 is supposed to woo them, cheer them, and intelligently analyze their way to victory on home ice. It's hashtag our ice.
Yeah, it needs to be, let's go Wild. Bop, bop. Ba, ba, ba. Let's go Wild. Ha, 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 ha. There's my man, Nordy. Ha, 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 ha. Box in the box. Ha, 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 ha. We can't win at home.
There's absolutely none of that. And from 12,000 lakes, we bring all the water in that makes up hashtag our ice.
Yeah.
And it's hashtag dead ice. It's hashtag melting ice.
What about that?
It's hashtag hideous.
It's hashtag everybody else's ice when we play at home. Box in the box Thursday. Got Wes Walls in the final hour. Think I got the game-changing wide receiver 10 to 10:30. Might be a cool jersey exchange at 10:40. That'll be fun. Hopefully starting the show with Boudreaux. Marty Jones, terrific for the Sharks. Kind of a shutdown guy like Anthony Barr was for Mike Zimmer's defense. Marty Jones.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he was good.
His parents call him Martin. We call him Marty. Kind of a shutdown guy like at times Anthony Barr was for Mike Zimmer's defense. Back to the lesson at hand as we enter the center. The Minnesota Wild are 14-14-6 at home with some beauties like a couple of shutout losses to the Anaheimers.
Combined 7-0 against the Ducks at home.
What do these guys have against home life? Sinkhole speculating, walking the dog, feeding the kids, making the chicken nuggets. I mean, what?
Sounds like heaven to me.
What do you have against home?
Sounds like heaven.
I mean, go to Comcast, put it on channel 455, listen to some Daniel Caesar.
Yeah.
Kick your feet up, look at the internet, feed the kids chicken nuggets, fend the butt babe terrorism, you know, deal with the, what about me? And then go to practice and play hard and just win at home.
Sounds like the American dream.
It's American dream. And you got a lot of cash. And you're in shape. This is the quarter ton covenant.
Yeah.
We start with the soundbite of, hold on to your butts. We can't touch our butts. We weigh a combined 516 pounds.
I have to bring a seatbelt extender on the airplanes now.
What do these guys have against home life? Can't be disputed they are more tenacious and better away from home. I mean, this used to be, and this is with all due respect. So let's, in this persnickety, snarky, Zucker-loving world, let's not all get touchy and feely like 9 to noon is bitching about the fans who pay their money and you're not doing your part. You are doing your part.
Yes.
You're doing your part. This has nothing to do with super special season ticket holding fan base members who go to every game. Crowd loves you. This used to be one of the league's toughest places to play, and now, I mean, we're an inch from having a losing record at home. A losing record in St. Paul.
Essentially, we do. At 14-14-6, we've lost 20 of those games. We do have a losing record.
Oh, we do.
And you can think about it from a points perspective that, well, technically it's 500. No, you ended up taking the L.
OTL.
At the end of 20 of those 34 games.
No, it's OTL.
OTL.
OTL. What the hell? OTL. What the hell? OTL. What the hell?
It's all negative. Sorry.
Don't kill the freaking messenger, all right?
It's not your fault.
We were wound up yesterday and we're more wound up today.
We lost Anthony.
X no longer marks the spot. It's the XL lack of energy center. We have won one game at XL lack of energy center in almost 2 months. We beat St. Louis a couple of Sundays ago. The last time we won outright there was Columbus, January 19th. Oh my God. On to Dallas and a big spot box in the box coming up this Thursday. Here's the deal. You can email your thoughts in pithy fashion on anything from the local world of sport to booth@kfan.com, specifically the Bradshaw and Brian inbox. Ain't kidding you. If that mug's longer than two paragraphs, it will not get read.
Attention span terrorism.
Booth at KFAN.com. Now, beaten down by Ryan Cardinal's 18-paragraph email I tried to read in 4 minutes yesterday.
Thanks for the novella, Mr. Cardinal.
Well, it's great. Thanks for the information. Your information was right. We'll share some of it as part of the Timber Tech What's on Deck set list when Leo, a Gopher Immortality, comes in studio at 11 o'clock to talk about a bunch of things. But seriously, you try to read an email and a freaking Tolstoy novel breaks out.
It's off season.
So Barr is gone. Sheldon Richardson's gone. Shamar Stephan is back. Those NFL topics and more next are part of that Timber Tech What's on Deck set list. Thanks to TimberTech.com. Florio at 9:35. Proud Papa Tom Chorsky at 10:15. I taped that interview. I like it. You'll like it. And from a parental standpoint, it's really, really cool. Leo in studio at about 11. Rest of the radio show, NFL Free Agency. Nordo produces. I'm Paul Allen. Brian Heating and Cooling Studios, FM 100.3. KFAN, good morning.
9 to noon. P.A. The Fan.
Programming on The Fan brought to you in part by Quick Trip.
Here come the Buccaneers, first and 10 from their own 17. Overtime tied at 13. Glennon back to pass, zips it right, and it's caught by the man who caught the touchdown. It was Seferian Jenkins who fumbled it, and it's picked up by Anthony Barr for a game-winning touchdown! Seferian Jenkins with a fumble, and Anthony Barr scores the game-winning touchdown, and the Vikings will walk off winners!
Hair-shaped.
Shake it up, it's all that we know.
What if the Vikings meet the New York football J-E-T-S, Jets in the Super Bowl over the next couple of years? And Jets defensive coordinator Greg Williams has Anthony Barr and another teammate go high-low on Cuz Buzz.
I always love that one.
Could be Anthony Barr and apparently C.J. Mosley.
Yeah, it's an embarrassment. Yeah, nothing like investing in linebackers en masse in a passing league where you play in a division against Tom Brady.
I always love that one.
Yeah, it's, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. It's just the ways and means become rearranged. Welcome back to the 9 to noon radio show. It's 9:20, Florio 15 minutes from now. So, seriously speaking, we need to take deep breaths, okay? Because it's not like now that she's gone, we didn't know that she was leaving. It's not like now, you know, while we were sleeping or we were at work, it's not like when we came home and she was gone and all the furniture or most of the furniture was gone.
Yeah.
It's not like it shocks us.
No.
Okay, we saw this divorce coming.
It was happening.
Now, the Jets are paying all the maintenance. The Jets are handling the child support.
I feel like, could we have done more to keep this from happening?
We potentially could have done more to avoid this divorce. But Anthony Barr is gone. He's off to the New York Jets, according to reports. So now, sports-loving rubes, you get hit over the head with a proverbial 2x4 three times last night. The Vox refusing to not say Zucker. The Wild getting shut out to the best in the West, and Barr leaving to the Jets.
Yep.
Then we go to bed. We think it's a restful night of sleep. We wake up, and Sheldon Richardson's on the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, my gosh. Above average at that.
But again, how surprised can we be that she left? How surprised can we be that we came home and our favorite chair in the sinkhole was gone,
yeah,
along with the individual.
And all you're seeing is remnants of food garbage from 5 years of not vacuuming underneath the chair.
And a dirty-ass note.
That's all that's left.
And a mean note.
Yeah.
Why you gotta be so mean? Okay, I paid the mortgage. I mean, let's not be so mean.
Yeah, let's not act like I didn't contribute at all to this relationship.
So yesterday, the Vikings moved on from Andrew Sandejo and Mike Remmers. lost Anthony Barr and Sheldon Richardson, signed Shamar Stephen, and tendered safety Anthony Harris and offensive lineman Rashad Hill. That's where we are right now. We mentioned the name Remmers. Remmers' agent went public via the narrow casting leader, claiming the Vikings wanted to restructure his deal, and they said no. If that's accurate, Remmers and his agent didn't want to mess around with playing guard or playing backup.
Right.
So Remmers, when healthy, is a better tackle than guard, in my opinion. What do I know? I'm not an elite Skarnecchia mind, so maybe I'm just guessing. But say I'm right. He and his representation obviously feel they'll get a chance to display his talent on the open market. Mike, nice guy, Minnesota Moving Company, battled some nagging injuries last year. When healthy, can play offensive line in the NFL.
But he did enough with the Panthers to entice the Vikings to bring him back and pay him. It was like 3 years, $30 million. So he did enough at one point at that position to warrant it.
Good luck to Mike Remmers. Good luck to Anthony Barr. Good luck to Sheldon Richardson. 9 to noon harbors no ill will for those individuals, personally speaking, and for, I'm going to say, a combined two of them. And I'm not going to break down the percentages publicly, but you got three entities, and I would say if you take all three, I miss 66 to 70% of all of them.
Okay.
The majority of it being Anthony Barr.
Yes.
Okay? Anthony Barr, quality human being. Mike Zimmer's first-round pick. Anthony, better in pass coverage than people think. Rube Nation wants to look at the Rams game and just go ahead and get stupid about it. Yeah, he got beat on the Todd Gurley play back left of the end zone. Yep. Hey, Anthony Barr got beat by Todd Gurley when his knee was completely healthy. Oh, that's a freaking puzzler. The Woods play and the Cup play, Barr never should have been on those guys. And we've talked about that a million times. He never should have been on those guys. So those are not on Anthony Barr, and if you think they are, you're wrong. Anthony, from an underrated performance standpoint, doing the nuts and bolts of what it takes to keep a unit cohesive, sometimes in punishing fashion, Anthony will be missed. Now, from his rookie year to now that he's gone, you know, it's up to you to go to booth@kfan.com and offer up your opinion and qualify how you think Anthony Barr's run is perceived here with the Minnesota Vikings. Formulate your opinion. We'll take a peek at it. The addition of Shamar Stephen is solid. It's a nuts and bolts addition where he's favored in the estimation of 9 to noon right now. And I put this on the narrow casting leader last night. As of now, Shamar is the favorite, according to my guys in the cornfields, to be the starting defensive tackle next to Linval Joseph. Now, in the sassy vein of the joke that was made about Barr and Mosley in a passing league having to stop Captain Cool, you can insert the same joke when I say with Shamar Stephen, Linval Joseph, Kendricks behind them, Hitman and Harris behind them. That run defense up the middle is absolutely terrific. And when Stephen played a majority of his reps at the, quote, three technique, end quote, he's a natural nose tackle. He backed up Linval part of his career when he was thrust into the three technique, the second defensive tackle bit. The run defense for the Vikings was incredibly good. So now insert the Anthony Barr, C.J. Mosley, AFC East, Tom Brady passing league joke. Great. We have the best run. We have one of the best run defenses in the NFC in a passing league.
I always love that.
See, and I think that's a great thing, though. I mean, you saw it in 2017, PA. I mean, the difference between last year's defense, for the most part, and 2017 was that run defense getting leaky in the run at times. I mean, we're not giving up, you know, 150 yards a game, but leaky in the run, and then short passing game. And I'm not saying that Shamar Stephen is the greatest defensive tackle that's ever walked the earth, but and I like Sheldon a lot from rushing the passer. I think instantly, I think the formation and just at a fundamental level, that defensive line does see a marked improvement just from keeping things in check up front with Shamar.
The reports are Sheldon gets 3 years and $21 million guaranteed from Cleveland.
Whew.
With all due respect, and this is not 2020 is hindsight terrorism. With all due respect, if that's accurate, off the season Sheldon Richardson just had here, I would not give him that money.
Yeah.
I would not guarantee him $21 million.
But you're seeing, this is the same thing that happens every year. And there were those that looked at the Vikings and said, 3 years and 84, are you guys out of your believing minds? I mean, Devin Funchess, with that $101 million or whatever that the Colts had in free cash,
right?
They gave Devin Funchess a one-year $13 million deal just to go stand next to T.Y. Hilton for 60 plays a game.
The Landon Collins deal is the one that really blows me away, and we'll hit on that at 9:55. So Barr reportedly gets $14 million a year. Okay, and from my opinion, which is not speaking for the team, and maybe I'm way off, maybe I'm dead on. It, Barr, to me, was 10, 11, 12 a year.
Like a Kendricks deal.
So right around the Kendricks deal. I saw the Kendricks deal, and I thought that was good for Barr. It's my personal opinion. Don't know what kind of guaranteed cash to Barr get. Any idea?
I have no idea.
All right. So we don't know what the guaranteed part of it is.
But they want to use him as a pass rusher. That's the report.
That's the bit. That's what everybody was saying in the offseason, is it'll take one team to pay Anthony Barr as a pass-rushing outside linebacker. Now we will see, instinctively speaking, if that's his fort, if that is something at which he is naturally gifted. We'll see. There will be myriad opportunities in a tricky nature, trick-laden Greg Williams defense for Anthony Barr to see what's in his bag of tricks.
Well, and the two guys that they signed, and C.J. Mosley, I'm not necessarily knocking on C.J., but...
Good run defender, pass coverage, a little suspect.
See, there you go. They basically signed two guys at opposite ends of the spectrum in pass coverage at that position. So how long do Greg Williams and company continue to watch things play out? And, I mean, you got two great linebackers, I think, between the pair, before they start to figure out how to maybe manipulate that linebacking core and get Anthony Barr back in some of those coverage sets, up in those things.
Well, but he will. I mean, linebackers will cover, and he will play nickel and or dime. So there will be plenty of coverage opportunities for Anthony. Now, with, you know, and that's, first of all, Greg Williams ran a 4-3 defense in Cleveland. So everybody's making a somewhat suspect leap that they absolutely will run 3-4 with the Jets. We'll see. Maybe they will. They have Jamal Adams on the back end, high-end safety.
Very good.
And they also have an incredibly high draft pick where they can take defensive linemen du jour and fortify what they're doing in the front seven.
They got big bodies up front.
Right. So I think they're in pretty good shape. And I personally, from a game-calling standpoint, having him in the Covenant, his performance, and just Anthony the guy, I will miss Anthony Barr. Probably not as much as Mike Zimmer. I mean, it was his first round pick in 2014. Mike has to be saddened. I mean, Mike gets the reality of the bit. We gave the quarterback 3-84. You got X tied up. You got Thielen, Diggs, Hitman, Linval, you have Daniil. You got a bunch of high-enders tied up with a lot of cash. It's not just the quarterback where you know, that's the narrative of the way this conversation with a lot of people is heading. So that's, you know, if they keep Trey Waynes on the team, and I hope they keep Trey Waynes on the team, fast forward 1 year. If you love Trey Waynes, this might be the same situation you're facing with Trey Waynes.
Yeah.
You know, because he is heading into the last year of his deal. He is a high-end cornerback. And you might have to look for nickels and dimes next year to keep Trey Waynes.
Well, the weird thing about that, too, is, okay, so do you trade, if you were going to make a move, do you trade Xavier at 29-ish, I think, where he's getting, you know, backside of ultimate prime, still very, very good, and then take the risk of being able to get Trey on a long-term deal, or do you trade Trey
Grieve?
Yes, please.
Why do I have to process that right now?
I don't know.
I don't want to. I'm not processing that right now.
I don't like it.
Can I have two stages of grieving before I start figuring out who in the hell's going to get traded and for what? I mean, I'm happy Shamar Stephen is back. That's cool. That's a really good nuts and bolts move for the cohesiveness of a defense. He's favored right now at what they call the three technique, and I'd imagine they'll draft defensive line pretty high. How do we qualify Anthony Barr's run here? Booth at KFAN.com, Bradshaw and Brian inbox. He walked off a winner in 2014 at Tampa. You heard that highlight. Got the controversial hit on Aaron Rodgers in 2017, ended A. Rodgers' season. visually on the wrong side of three touchdowns at the Rams last season. To a man, two were not his fault. Buffalo's Josh Allen beat him to the end zone last season.
Jumped over his head.
That was on Anthony. No, we're not talking about Ray Lewis here. Okay, we're not talking about Ray Nitschke. This is not Mike Singletary or Otis Wilson related stuff. But for what we do here, Anthony Barr fit incredibly well, and I'll miss him. Occasionally, he'd punish offensive players. So now, you know, once yours truly and those who care get through one or two stages of the 5-5 has departed divorce related terrorism, we'll recognize we have a major void at linebacker. So now we got to start thinking about Eric Wilson's improvement. I'm sitting here at 18 trying to find a way to Chris Lindstrom to Boston College in the 20s. Now I got to start thinking about Devin Bush. I'm not ready to think about Devin Bush. Eric Wilson's improvement, though. The draft. Do we focus on linebacker? My God. Florio next.
You're listening to PA.
What a pleasure it is to be on hashtag Faith Radio with all of these believers this morning.
On the Fan.
Florio.
Hey, Mike, Paul Allen, how are you?
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Awful.
Right into it, man. You're not wasting any time today. We're not listening to the music at all.
The
night's begun and you want some fun. You think you're going to find it?
Oh, very right. Nice. That was a highlight of my morning. No, everything sucks.
I know what the low light of your morning is.
Well, what is
it? What did you expect? They have no cap space.
Honey, you don't.
Pollyanna, wake up.
You don't
take off the purple colored glasses. They have no cap space.
Mike, don't make me say shut up, please.
Come on, tell me to shut up.
You don't understand what's happening here, okay? The Wild got shut out on NBC Sports
Who
Network.
Who cares about the Wild? I care about NBCSN, but I don't care about the Wild. I care about the Vikings, right. Not the Wild.
Well, if you care about NBCSN, the next time they have that play-by-play guy do one of our games, can you contact him and have him at least say the last names right? But forget that.
Oh!
So we got that. Then we got the team.
I don't know who did the game. Are you throwing shade at Doc Emmerich?
No.
He didn't.
Never.
All right.
No.
Don't throw shade at my NBC colleagues.
No, Doc Emmerich could say Florio, and I wouldn't rip him on the Narrowcasting Leader Twitter.
Hey, Paul, be careful, because don't throw stones, because you know every preseason when there's 90 guys on the roster on the opposing team, there's always that name that slips through the five hole that you get wrong, and I'm not saying you specifically,
right.
But you know how it goes in August.
Yeah, and they people can throw shade at me left and right. I couldn't care less.
You're salty today. I like salty Paul.
No, I don't.
You're the gloom in my boom.
Please stop.
I'm in a good mood.
Okay, please stop. Okay, so the team gets shut out. The linebacker goes to New Jersey, which means if we meet the Jets in the Super Bowl, their defensive coordinator probably will orchestrate a high-low on Kirk Cousins. So then we go to sleep.
Hey, first of all, the notion of Kirk Cousins and the Vikings being in the Super Bowl is the funniest thing you've ever said. Please continue.
We got a better chance to get there than the Jets.
Well,
and
I don't disagree
don't,
with that, but you both got a snowball's chance on the equator of getting there this year.
Right, and then we're going to get there, and if we win it, you'll get a tattoo on your right butt cheek of the Helga horn, and that's how you'll live the rest of your life. So don't lie. Deal?
Oh, if they win the Super Bowl, I'll get a Vikings tattoo. Remember, I was going to get a Blair Walsh tattoo if he had made 25 straight kicks, and I think he got to 3 before I was off the hook.
If you had gotten that Blair Walsh tattoo, would it have been on your left cheek?
The season can't end like that!
Yeah, it would have been wide left.
Yep, so then we wake up. Now Sheldon Richardson's with Cleveland. Again, neither are shockers. With all due respect, and I like Sheldon here, 21 guaranteed's probably not something I would do. With Barr, and do you know what the guaranteed money is for Barr, by the way?
I haven't seen any of the numbers on Barr, which tells me it must not be a great deal.
Well, it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 14 a year. I saw that.
Okay.
Which is a little heavy. See, it's like when Kendricks got his deal into last year, I thought that same deal would be perfect for Barr. Wouldn't be surprised if the team offered that deal to Barr, and then Barr and his people said, "Nah, we're going to wait, you know, for the franchise tag or to potentially get more." Maybe they did. So with Barr going to the Jets, what do you think of that move for them? And like, what's our void look like here?
Well, look, here's the thing, and this is something to keep in mind every year, especially with a team like the Vikings that has a history of rewarding its own young players, of signing them to long-term contracts and keeping them around. A lot of teams will just let the young players go get paid elsewhere, and then they'll spend a lot of money on guys who never played for the team before. And that sends a horrible message to young players that you are trying to inspire. You know, the young Adam Thielens or the future Adam Thielens, who see that if you do everything you're supposed to do, if you dot the I's, cross the T's, bust your ass, you're going to get paid.
Yeah.
Anthony Barr is the one exception of this current crop of Vikings, this homegrown group that didn't get a contract.
Right.
And the Vikings know Anthony Barr better than anyone. And it's five seasons with Anthony Barr. And the Jets are paying him a lot more than the Vikings would pay him, and the Jets don't know him at all. I don't know if there's any cross-pollination, if there's any former Vikings coaching staff members on that Jets coaching staff under Adam Gase, but you know, this is the lack of institutional knowledge in New York versus what the Vikings know. He was the first pick of the Mike Zimmer regime, so I think that you have to look at it and say, maybe the Vikings know what they're doing here. Maybe the Vikings realize that you got to make some tough decisions.
Yeah.
And you have to let certain guys go. And Barr is the one guy who was let to walk away, and maybe they're making the right decision here. It was funny. You know, some of the people in the business who, like, oh, the Jets getting a pass rusher. He had 13 and a half sacks for his career. They're not getting a pass rusher. You know, and that's a lot of money to pay for just a run-of-the-mill linebacker who I know can do a lot of things. He can't cover Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, or Todd Gurley, so don't ask him to. But, I think the Vikings know what they're doing here. I wouldn't get upset about it. They have a plan, and they followed it, and now the plan, you know, we'll see if it works.
No, I'm not, and again,
is so odd that I'm the voice of reason.
I saw this coming. We, Elite Football Minds, saw this coming. But now that she's gone, and she's taken part of the furniture and left the nasty note.
She's gone.
It still resonates. You know, it's like, and I'm not necessarily even worried about what's next. I'm sure they have a plan for what's next. But it's like when they leave now. You know, Sheldon Richardson gone. Shamar Stephen, very good nuts and bolts move. And he's favored to start at three technique pending the draft for the Vikings. But it's still, you know, when these guys get here, they perform for you. You get to know them. The fan base gets to know them. They're very philanthropically sound within the community. And then they leave. It's just weird, man, you know?
Yeah, but that's how it works, man. I mean, that's what the players wanted, and that's what the players get.
I know.
Sometimes they want to stay, and they can't. So that's the way it goes. Don't get attached. Or if you do get attached, you got to know when to unattach. It's the way it works. Guys are there for a year or two or three or four or not very long at all. You know, I remember when I visited training camp this year. I can't remember who I said this to, but you got 90 guys who are there every day. 90 guys every day through the off season, through training camp, through the preseason. And all of a sudden, 37 of them are gone every year.
I know.
I mean, so it happens, man. Don't get attached.
Well, and one thing that's bugging me here is, of course, you know, on the Narrowcasting Leader Twitter or within the minds of some people listening right now, you know, the majority, and this might even have been fueled by you, but you're just part of it, okay? The narrative is changing towards, well, if we didn't give Cousins all that money, we'd be able to keep these guys. But if you didn't give Cousins all the money, you wouldn't have a quarterback heading into his second year who hopefully dramatically improves in certain areas.
Hopefully.
Well, right.
And hopefully.
Well, we'll see.
Hopefully.
But it's people... Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, Daniil Hunter, Harrison Smith, Linval Joseph, so on, Riley Reiff, so on and so on. They got big deals too. It's not all just Cousins with this money, you know?
Yeah, but Cousins at $29 million is the most glaring, right? That's the most glaring. That was the big ticket item last year in free agency. That was the guy who has a $29 million cap charge this year, and it's going to tie your hands. Look, you got Tom Brady, who consistently takes far less than he should get. Kirk Cousins played the market to his advantage. He got big money. That's how it works. The Vikings decided to go all in.
Yeah.
And they're never going to admit that maybe they shouldn't have, that maybe they should have considered other options, that maybe they should have kept Case Keenum. And we've argued that in the past. But at $18 million for Case Keenum, you got a lot more flexibility to keep guys around. That extra $11 million could have gone to Anthony Barr or Sheldon Richardson, and that's part of the price you pay for paying a lot to a quarterback. And is there a coincidence or not that so many of these teams that have quarterbacks who are making on the upper end of the pay scale aren't successful? And they're not. I mean, the Patriots have cracked the code in large part because they've convinced Tom Brady to consistently take less than he's worth. And that actually keeps other quarterbacks from making more, because if Tom Brady had stretched the rubber band as far as he could, others would benefit from that. And I think Brady should be making $40 million a year. When you have a guy who is uniquely wired to not want it, then that helps you have a team that can create a legacy that allows you to keep going back to the Super Bowl over and over and over again. So
ain't no doubt. But
we saw that. Look, didn't we see this coming last year? This is the hangover. Last year was the drunken spree, and this is the hangover. And unfortunately, during the drunken spree, you know, it didn't work. And we knew this year was going to be tough. And now we're seeing it. And the problem is there was nothing last year that can be looked back upon fondly and say it was worth it, because based upon what happened last year, the hangover isn't worth it.
With assuming Nick Foles ends up in Jacksonville, like all the reports I saw at ProFootballTalk.com, why do you like him so much there?
Well, I like him anywhere because he's a Super Bowl MVP and he brings leadership to the table. I think he is going to have credibility in that locker room. They have some guys in there who, you know, from time to time they flash a little temper at each other and, you know, but maybe there are issues, and Blake Bortles didn't have that credibility, that swagger to smooth it out because he's not any good. Foles comes in there with a proven track record, and Foles, I think, is going to be exactly what the Jaguars need. And in hindsight, Case Keenum for one more year, Foles this year. But that move was made last year. Folks got smitten with Cousins, and they're not going to admit they were wrong. They're doubling down, as I would. If I was the one, if I was Zimmer or Spielman, I would say the exact same things those guys are saying about Kirk Cousins, that the second year he's going to make a big jump, and we really expect great things. What else are you going to say? We screwed up? You got no way out of this cheese maze, right? You're stuck, or corn maze, or whatever the hell it is. You're stuck, so you got to make the best of it, right?
Yeah, I want to be in a cheese maze so I can
corn
go.
Maze. I'm thinking corn maze. You put cheese in a maze, but I'm thinking the corn maze, the big corn stalks, and you're in the middle, you don't know where the hell you are. You ever get lost in like one of those mazes and freak out? I got lost in a hall of mirrors once when I was a kid, and I'm still scarred by that now.
Who do you think I am, Jack Nicholson in The Shining?
I don't know. You have about the same demeanor and temperament of him today. I like this Paul Allen.
So with Philly,
I like boom. Oh, I like gloom over boom.
You know what's weird in Philly? Maybe it's not weird. Is like when they made that playoff run last year. Didn't Chris Long or players put like a shrine at Nick Foles' locker or something? So now Foles is probably gone, so now it's all Carson Wentz's money.
He is. Why are you saying probably? He's gone.
Okay, he's gone. Oh, why? But if you're Carson, it's weird. I mean, because now you're wondering if guys on the team like Nick more than him.
Well, and I said all along that if the Eagles get to the divisional round and give the Saints a run for their money, the Eagles owe it to themselves to have a conversation about whether or not they should keep Foles instead of Wentz, because Wentz is a better quarterback, but the Eagles are a better team when Foles is playing. And there's value in that, mm-hmm. especially because Carson Wentz can't stay healthy. What are they going to do this year? They better hope Nate Sudfeld can play, because he's going to be the Nick Foles if Carson Wentz gets injured for a third straight December. You can't be a franchise quarterback if you're not available to play for your franchise.
You're a
and
rabble
Wentz
rouser.
Gets injured too often. You're, I'm not a I'm a truth teller,
no,
man.
But you know why you're a rabble rouser?
I am a truth teller.
Two things I saw at PFT yesterday. Now, are you steamrolling because of sources with this Ben Roethlisberger thing, or are you speculating like a rabble rouser? Roethlisberger told the Steelers with Antonio Brown, it's him or me.
I'm speculating, and actually, I don't think Roethlisberger would need to say it's him or me. They give that guy so much power, all he has to do is walk in and say, get rid of this guy.
Jeez.
Why do you take a third-round pick and a fifth-round pick? Look at all the huffing and puffing the Steelers did. Oh, we want significant compensation. We're not just going to give him away. They gave him away!
Right.
They gave him away, and they only have themselves to blame. And Steelers fans get so upset. They should be mad at the organization for mismanaging a highly talented roster, not getting the most out of it. Instead, they get mad at anyone who says the Steelers mismanaged a talented roster and didn't get the most out of it. It's ludicrous to me, but there's no internal accountability and there's no external accountability, because the fans will just blindly wave that terrible towel and support everything the organization does. And that's one of the reasons why they do whatever they want. And that's one of the reasons why there is no accountability.
PFT.
Reason 95, you are a hashtag rabble rouser. ProFootballTalk.com yesterday. You predicting now, because of what Antonio Brown did, even though he got a fat deal into last season, Odell Beckham Jr. is going to do the same thing.
Again, not a rabble-rouser, a truth-teller, and I think that Antonio Brown has created a playbook that other star players may try to emulate. Why not? Antonio Brown got exactly what he wanted. He had no leverage. He was under contract for 3 more years at $38.925 million with $0 and 0 cents guaranteed. He now has a new team, a new contract, $30 million guaranteed, an $11.5 million raise over the next 3 years. He wins. And he went Charlie Sheen Tiger Blood and won. It's amazing.
The website this time of the year, second to none. Great work by you and your staff. I'll be looking at it repeatedly today. Thank you very much.
Well, you're blowing me off. You got a hard break or something? Or you got to go. No. Are you too worked up?
No, I'm doing this by choice. I'm saying goodbye.
You're dumping me. You still have time before the hard break, and you're choosing to end our conversation.
You're Anthony,
the best part of your show, and you're choosing to end it.
You're Anthony Barr. I'm opting not to franchise you for 2 minutes.
Well, then,
so
you know
goodbye.
What? Tuesdays at 9:37 a.m. Cornfields time, I'll be on WFAN, not KFAN.
Come on!
You're listening to PA.
Listen, we all live in the same place. We all live in purple misery together.
On the Fan.
Loaded now.
Hey, do you want to win $100,000?
Yeah, so I can have free agency money.
Join us at the Twin Cities Auto Show this Thursday, March 14th, starting at 4 p.m. And try to crack the code on the KFAN safe. The 5-digit code you enter could get you $100,000, but your only shot to open the safe happens on Thursday the 14th, this Thursday. All driven by your greater Twin Cities Honda dealer. More info, get to KFAN.com. Keyword, auto show.
You have Twitter open right now?
I do, yes.
You see the Minneapolis trends?
In your face, Milwaukee!
Yeah, it's...
Two of the top four trends...
Of course he's a homie! He hasn't told me he's a homie!
Two of the top four trends on Twitter via Minneapolis...
In the silence you hear is Lambeau Field.
The first, Packers...
Never heard anyone in my life who's more insane than Paul Allen.
The fourth, hashtag GoPackGo.
In your face,
sucks.
Milwaukee!
The sixth trend is Amos,
yeah,
as in A-M-O-S.
Why don't you put your pants back on, Slappy?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And the ninth is Darius Smith, because I'm assuming they didn't want to put the czar in the first part.
Packers fans can't spell, so they know that they got a pass rusher from Baltimore.
These are Minneapolis trends.
Yeah.
We're not, these are not lacrosse trends. Eau Claire, River Falls, the aggressive city that begins with W on the drive to Green Bay. I can't remember what it is.
Waukesha,
walk a dog, walk a whatever.
Menominee.
Appleton. Yeah, this is not Appleton. There actually is Wi-Fi and something to do. So, here's the deal. 9 to noon is going to fly through these. It's free agency and how it impacts the Minnesota Vikings. A much-needed mental break from free agency will be taken 15 minutes from now. That's when Proud Papa... Tom Chorsky, whose kids Brett and Hannah Chorsky each just won state hockey titles. That's where we will discuss with Tom what it's like being the Rick Barry of the local high school hockey scene. He and his wife, they sire champions. Interview's already taped. It's in the can, as we say in the business. It's very touchy-feely from a fatherly standpoint. Super special hockey parents. Edina, whole thing. Playing it back at 10:17, don't at me. Here are some guys going to teams we play next season. Now, of course, yours truly wrote this at 8:53 in the evening or 6:53 in the evening, between 6 and 8 yesterday. Well, of course, 19,000 things happened involving teams the Vikings play. So we've had to edit the bit a little bit. We've had to change it up a little bit. But these are some guys going to teams we play next season. Teams that are on the schedule for the Minnesota Vikings next season. And we begin with...
In your face, Milwaukee!
Let's go to the Appleton desk. Here's Eric Nordquist.
Za'Darius Smith is a defensive end slash defensive tackle in the 3-4 bit with the Baltimore Ravens. Fourth round pick out of 2015 from Kentucky. 8.5 sacks in 2018. 18.5 in his career. Played about two-thirds of the defensive snaps last season for the Ravens. And Harbaugh moves him all over the place. He's 6'4", 275, ran a 4.8 40 dash at the combine, and now he slots into Mr. LaFleur's defense for the Green Bay Packers.
That'd be Mr. Pettine's defense. So they play a 3-4 in Green Bay. They played a 3-4 in Baltimore. So 9 to noon being the Elite Football Mind Covenant, told you yesterday and repeatedly last week, the Green Bay Packers are seeking pass rushers, safeties, and eventually, I believe, offensive linemen. If I'm wrong with this, I'm wrong with this, but I have felt every step of the way with Brian Bulaga, the major hole they had last year at right guard, their center, the Ohio State kid is getting older, as is David Bakhtiari, who's about middle of his career, maybe second half. So offensive line could be in play to protect that precious investment known as Juicy A-Rodge. So you got the pass rusher. What else do you have?
Safety Adrian Amos. We saw him with the Chicago Bears in 2018.
Adrian got good last year.
He not only got good, picked off our guy Kirk at Soldier Field, if you remember that. And now he joins somebody that the Bears probably were hesitant to lose, didn't want to lose, fit into that defense quite well.
Yeah.
Now a year removed from Ha-Ha Clinton Dix moving on from the Green Bay Packers. They slot in Mr. Amos as a free agent pickup.
No surprise Green Bay would look at safety in free agency. And Adrian Amos with Eddie Jackson by his side. And I just think it's interesting to note with the addition of Khalil Mack and what they got from Danny Trevathan, Leonard Floyd had a fantastic season. You put Mack in the bit, everybody's going to get better. Prince Amukamara was a middle-of-the-road corner at best. Might have had his best season as a pro last year. You put Khalil Mack in the bit, and everything improves. Eddie Jackson's a high-ender. He was in a handful of best safeties in the NFL last year. So Amos was a major beneficiary of that. This Za'Darius Smith ain't no Khalil Mack. Does he help? Absolutely. Is there more to come for Green Bay's front seven? Absolutely. Anything else with the Packers?
Yeah, here we go. I liked him when we saw him with the Washington Redskins. His name is Preston Smith. Second-round pick a few years ago out of Mississippi State. He's 26.
I think he had more sacks his rookie season than Daniil, but it was really close.
Yeah, he had 8 sacks his rookie year, and he's gone 8, 4.5, 8 again, and then 4 last season, 24.5 total.
Yep.
He now joins on a 4-year $52 million deal with the Green Bay Packers.
Ooh, that's a lot. I like Preston Smith. I've always liked Preston Smith, and I see what they're doing here with their front seven. So with Amos, I like Adrian Amos. I've never loved him specifically in coverage. Very big safety from Penn State. With the two pass rushers, I like those moves. So for Super Special Cine and those in the Appleton-loving covenant, two of those three moves, for whatever it's worth, receive my absolute stamp of approval. Now, we hooked the Lions a couple of times. In the business, we call it the NFC North. Your Lions, reportedly, once free agency goes official tomorrow, are moving on defensive end Trey Flowers, tight end Jesse James, and this guy.
Cousins facing a blitz, steps up, gets away from it. Now he's hit as he looks to throw the ball. It's bouncing about, and it's picked up by the Seattle Seahawks. They're ruling it a fumble. And former Viking Justin Coleman steams to the 10, near side, to the 5, into the end zone for a 29-yard fumble recovery touchdown. And Seattle extends the lead 20-0.
Flowers is solid. 5th season from Arkansas. Matt Patricia had him his first 3 years of his career. Patricia also had Coleman before his one season in Seattle. Patricia schemed against Jesse James many times when Jesse played for Pittsburgh. So, for Matt Patricia, head coach of the Detroit Lions, this is Patricia continuing to clean out the old and bring in guys he wants. Culture change stuff, man. Guys who don't mind running sprints at the end of training camp practices when the heat index is 100. guys who must not mind practicing outside in the snow before games in domes. Detroit needed a pass-rushing guy, as 9 to Noon has told you a million times, and closed on Flowers. Detroit needed a young, talented, aggressive corner and got one in Coleman. As mentioned yesterday, 9 to Noon, Detroit needed a pass-catching tight end and gets a decent one in Jesse James. The Lions also are moving on wide receiver Danny Amendola, who, of course, played with Patricia in New England and undoubtedly does not mind running sprints at the end of training camp practice when the heat index is 100 and or practicing outside in December in the snow before games that will be played in domes. The Lions still need offensive line help and will address it, in my opinion, at pick 8 or 43, probably not 8. You know, they got with the moves that they made and the fact that they still need a pass rusher, they still need a corner, Slay and Coleman together, I like that. They still need a corner. And they still need a pass rusher. You know, right, I don't know where your guy Devin Bush is supposed to be drafted. Seriously. Right up the road in Ann Arbor.
Mid-late first round, yeah.
Right. I mean, it's
makes complete sense.
And, you know, Lions fans are probably like, let's trade back. Everybody always wants to trade back.
Yeah, get more picks.
What about the teams that want to come up? They're not that easy to find.
No, they are not.
So maybe they will trade back. Maybe we'll trade back. Who knows? What if Devin Bush plays for the Lions? I have no idea, man. They still need pass rushers. God bless them all. We play the Raiders at U.S. Bank Stadium next season. They moved on Antonio Brown and left tackle Trent Brown. They also have an outside chance at running back Le'Veon Bell if they can find some money.
Mm.
They don't. I looked at this yesterday. Sinkhole speculate. They don't have the money for Le'Veon Bell, so they can shed themselves of the Kelechi Osemele thing. They can take from Osemele to pay Peter, Paul, and Antonio. They still need to find more money for Le'Veon Bell, unless Le'Veon's going to come in a little cheaper than I think.
Well, they also got LaMarcus Joyner from the Rams.
Oh, they got LaMarcus Joyner,
they
too.
They got LaMarcus Joyner. So cool. They're not getting Le'Veon.
What if the autumn wind is a Raider? What if the autumn wind once again is a Raider? And it blows through the Las Vegas desert like Nordo's money and or a tumbleweed blowing behind Mandalay Bay. We are at KC next season. The Chiefs supposedly are losing center Mitch Morse to Buffalo. Sneaky bad loss. Good center. And they signed Honey Badger. Honey Badger's with the Chiefs. We see him next year. We play the Eagles next season. We play them here. Rumors are it's the final game Thanksgiving night, which would be tremendous. The Eagles traded with the Bucks for wide receiver DeSean Jackson and supposedly are signing defensive lineman Malik Jackson. Fantasy football up in his biatch.
I can't believe that defensive front with Barnett, Graham, Fletcher Cox, and then Malik Jackson. Now, Jackson wasn't as good with the Jaguars as he was maybe with the Broncos, but the rich are getting richer right now. It's very frustrating with this free agency frenzy as we get to sit here and be spectators.
Eagles supposedly are losing quarterback. And all of this supposedly stuff, 98% it's all happening. 9 to Noon knows that. But this is the weird negotiating oxymoron period. They call it legal tampering, which I think is dumb. But free agency, 3 p.m. tomorrow, all of these things, 98.7% will go official, including Nick Foles to Jacksonville, which is dicey because the team at times played better for Foles than Wentz. I know Carson is super special, Bismarck guy by way of Fargo. I'm a Carson Wentz guy. I like Carson. I want to see him succeed. Nick Foles is a Super Bowl MVP. They built a shrine around his locker late in the season last year because of the charge they were making. They felt he was fueling.
They had to win all the games.
Carson is, from what I understand, Carson has some type A to him.
Yep.
A little wound up, full of anxiety, just very talented. Nick's more on the chill. Nick was middle of the road at best at St. Louis, high ender at Philly.
For one season.
I'd say two seasons. I mean, Super Bowl MVP and during the run last year. Wasn't great in the playoff game, but I thought he was pretty good last year. We'll see with Messrs. Malone and DeFilippo and super special Leonard Fournette. We'll see how it works next year.
Well, I just think it's risky. 2013, he has like that 26-27 touchdown to two pick ratio bit. Then he moves on. Doesn't he hasn't shown outside of the 2013 year that he can start 16 games and be a leader and lead a team outside of these cool runs that he's made. I get it, but the season's long. And best of luck with the $50 million that the Jaguars are putting on him in Jacksonville.
Free agency moves and how they impact the Minnesota Vikings with some guys going to teams we play next season. We don't play Nick Foles, but we play the Eagles. We are at the Giants next season. The Giants reportedly lost this guy.
Keenum drops out of the gun. New York rushes. Five throw over the middle. Popped in the air and intercepted. Picked off by Landon Collins. Returns it inside the 40. Now he cuts across the field and gets inside the 30. Still on his feet. Down the left sideline. 20, 15, 10, 5. And touchdown. Oh, my goodness. Landon Collins. What an unbelievable return all the way to the house.
Westwood won.
So, Landon Collins, safety for Washington. We have Washington here at the House of Pain. Collins gets a massive contract. This is one that is a head scratcher for me. And I was mildly surprised the Giants were just letting Collins leave. And I feel like, you know, I feel like either from people I know or following Landon Collins' career, I have a good feeling of how Landon Collins plays. And I know Landon Collins can be very good. The money he got, with all due respect, in my opinion, completely absurd. He's best known for being an in-the-box safety. He's not a super versatile safety. He's not like Harry the Hitman. He's not like a healthy Earl Thomas. Landon Collins is really good in the box from a coverage standpoint. You know, I guess we'll take our chances against that next year. Giants, we go to the Giants. They also traded Olivier Vernon for a guard, Kevin Zeitler, and that happened late last week. Washington is losing a slot machine. It's this guy.
Second and 12. Johnson from the shotgun. Little dump off, a little crossing route. Crowder across the 30. 35, 40. Crowder turns on the Jets. He's going to go all the way. Jamison Crowder up the left sideline for a Redskins touchdown. 79 yards.
That's the team, 980 Washington Redskins Radio Network.
So what I just tell you, and this was with no steam, it's instincts from my football mind.
Yes.
Green Bay, copyright James Blunt, I know you well, I know your smell. We knew you needed pass rushers. 9 to noon, knew you needed a safety. And yours truly, I think, is the only one saying over the last week and change, somehow you might want to think about angling your way to an offensive lineman. Because of A, B, and C that's either coming or happening with your offensive line. Let's go to the Dante Scarnecchia desk for an update on Green Bay's offensive line. And here's Mikko Nordo.
Courtesy of Ivan Rappaport, the Green Bay Packers are signing Shoreview, Minnesota native, North Dakota State Bison alum, Billy Turner. Right guard for the Dolphins, most recently with the Broncos.
Yeah.
Now he's wearing green and gold.
All right, playing some fantasy football up in that biatch. Okay, may God be with everybody. We break from free agency for an interview with Fathering Immortality next.
You're listening to PA.
Get some beers, get some whatever, and start celebrating.
On the Fan.
The Fan.
A much-needed break from National Football League free agency to chat with a former Minnesota Mr. Hockey and a cup winner with the New Jersey Devils in the 90s. Also, the father of two state champions this year from the world of hockey, Brett and Hannah Chorsky, are Tom Chorsky's kids, Andy Dinah Hornets, and Tom joins us now. What's up, Maine man? How you doing?
Hey, PA. I'm doing all right. I finally finished out the banquet season. It's been a fun ride. You just mentioned my kids were on those state championship teams, and you know, you can't plan for that stuff. So when it happens, you go for a ride and you enjoy it. But there's banquets and there's pre-games and there's parties afterwards you got to deal with. So I'm just starting to catch up on my rest.
Tom Chorsky, how fantastic have your last few weeks been?
Well, I think you know, as any parent would know that you love to see your kids succeed. And you know, I know that for certainly on the boys' side, we're champing at the bit to get back at it. They had had a couple cracks at it and didn't win the tournament the last times they were there. So this group of seniors, there were 11 of them, had a lot of conviction, and they put a lot of work into it, and they had their hopes and dreams were completely set on it. So it was kind of a relief because of how badly they wanted it.
With your champion kids, Brett and Hannah, despite being sister and brother, Tom, did they push each other at hockey growing up?
Well, you know, they did, I think, subtly. I think they compete at a healthy level, but they don't talk about a lot of things, and they don't compare notes, at least not in front of me, they don't. And, you know, I think Brett, when Hannah was younger, kind of discounted her hockey a little bit, but at this stage, he's starting to give her, I think, a little more credit. Again, if it's not explicit, it's implicit, and it's something that, you know, Hannah and her friends, they've all won two straight championships, and so collectively, they kind of hold it over the boys' heads a little bit, I think.
How much of a sweat was Saturday night, Tom? Edina could not get going, then exploded in the third and won it in overtime.
Yeah, well, it was nerve-wracking. You know, people asked me ahead of time if I felt nervous, and I typically, my response is that I won't worry about anything until it's, you know, in the third period, and if it doesn't look good or things haven't been going well, but Eden Prairie came out of the gate just on fire and had completely bothered up Edina in the first two periods. And they were out shooting them heavily, out chancing them heavily, just out playing them. And Edina could not get anything going. So it was really a credit to Eden Prairie leaving it all out there on the line. And I think, you know, I talked to Lee Smith after the game or Sunday at the Mr. Hockey Banquet, and he was certainly proud of their effort. And he commented that he felt like, you know, they left everything they could on the ice, and it just didn't quite go their way. So Edina did come out, and once they got a goal, things changed a lot. They got two goals real quick. But, you know, it went into overtime, and the way Eden Prairie had been outplaying Edina, it really could have gone either way. The Edina goalie really played well. Hull played great, had to make a ton of big saves, and then Edina just found a way to get that winning goal, and like I said, could have gone either way, but Edina did find a way. So hats off to them for getting it done.
Tom, with the boys team, what do you like about Kurt Giles as a coach?
You know, he's pretty stern with them. He's even keeled with them. We had the banquet last night, and you know, last night was probably the most I've ever seen. I've been to three of them, once with JV because they co-mingle them, and two with Varsity. And last night I'd say that Kurt was probably the most genuinely and sincere how much he thought this group of kids were just a great group of boys and how they stuck together and they played together. And he liked the way they acted on and off the ice. And so, you know, he does seem to care about all of that. And he does seem to get these guys through the season, and he works them hard. I know that. He works hard in practice. And so the boys are ready physically and mentally, and they really like him. They respect him. And like I said, I think over the years he's become a little more, I don't want to say sentimental, or maybe it is a little sentimental, but he's making connections to these kids. And so the combination of, you know, his 20 years of experience in coaching hockey keeps a pretty level head, but then he works him hard, and he was able to, you know, connect with the boys, and I think that went a long way as well.
Tom, for you and your wife, how much parental sacrifice is there having hockey kids? I mean, practice, ice time, dedication, early hours, stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, early on, it's just a labor of love because they're small, and you're going out on the, you know, maybe on the pond or down to the park, and it's really all about them building some friendships and having some things to do socially and staying active. And over the years, if they kind of take to it and they get a passion for it, now you're kind of supplying that. And I mean, all along, the attitude was, you know, our kids are, you worry about teenagers going off the rails a little bit, so you want them active and staying involved in things and having something to either work towards or play for. And so, you know, there's a lot of time sacrifices. I don't think we did, you know, quite as much like a AAA as some people have done. You know, Brett wasn't playing AAA after about age 12 or 13 and was just kind of going to do some clinics here and there. And Hannah, we didn't put into heavy summer hockey until she was about 13. And so, you know, we tried to temper it, and they play other sports. Brett's going out for tennis this morning, I think, his high school tennis starts. But, you know, there's some sacrifice, and there's a lot of, you know, I guess efforts, getting them around. But and a little bit of anxious times when you want them to win a big game. But, you know, it didn't feel like it. Now, at least with our senior, it's over. It didn't feel like a ton of work. It was really enjoyable, and we had good experiences with coaches and with other families on the teams. And so it just becomes kind of part of your life. And around here, it makes winters a little more bearable.
Frequent fan contributor, specifically to 9 to Noon, Tom Chorsky on the 9 to Noon radio show. His kids, Brett and Hannah Chorsky, this year won state hockey titles with the Edina Hornets. Now, Tom, are your kids naturally gifted or at hockey, or did they really have to work at it?
You know, I would say a little bit of both. You know, my son is 6'6", and my wife is pretty tall, and I'm 6'1", and our kids got a lot of height. You don't need to have height to be a good athlete, but it doesn't hurt if you also have some skill. Now, that being said, they worked pretty hard at, you know, shooting pucks in the driveway, stick handling, you know, on their own free time in the garage or in the driveway. And so it was a little bit of a combination of them having some good physical attributes and then putting in the time. And then again, a lot of good coaching in the Edina Hockey Association at the youth level. There's a lot of former players that come back. And I would say that on the girls' side, Hannah had a coach in Keith Jungles and Scott Bowlby when they were young, and these guys they pushed them pretty hard, and the girls didn't seem to mind it. There's a level of expectation and a level of competitiveness, and I don't think it's super unhealthy. I think it's just the environment that a lot of these kids grow up in, that they're trying to achieve as much as they can, and they end up having a lot of success. And at least in Edina, in a lot of sports, I think my wife told me last night that they've won 7 state championships in the high school this year or something like that. So there's a level of excellence, I would call it. And I know a lot of people hate Edina Hornets, and they probably think it's some sort of psychotic competitive thing, but it doesn't feel like that on the inside. It just feels like there's a high level of expectation to succeed, and the kids put in a lot of time and effort, and you know, I think we see some pretty good results from it.
Does it bug you, Tom, so many local hockey fans openly root against Edina?
No, not necessarily. It's become, I mean, I grew up not really liking Edina either. We played against Edina in high school, and I looked across the ice and thought they were a bunch of jerks too. It's, you know, some of it's just perpetuated by generations of us, you know, passing it along to our friends and family and kids. But you know, internally, these kids are good kids, and they do a lot of good things, and the people of Edina aren't nearly as bad as the reputation. I don't think there's nearly as much wealth across the board that everyone probably assumes, that, you know, everyone's rich and lives in a mansion. That's just not the case. So, you know, I think as residents now, I still like to consider myself from Minneapolis, and I grew up in Minneapolis, but, you kind of take it with a grain of salt. And then when you do sit down and have a beer with someone from, you know, another city, and they spend some time with them, you know, they realize or they acknowledge that, hey, you guys are not that much different than us.
Your fatherly tutelage of these title-winning kids. Tom, how do you balance criticism to improve with attaboys to empower?
That's a great question. Um, I I've tried to balance it, but for the most part, and maybe I didn't do it well in the beginning, and that kind of set the table. But just about every time I try to critique or, you know, give some constructive feedback, we'll call it, I think it comes across from the old man who used to play hockey that nothing's ever good enough. And that's not my intent at all. It's just an observation like, hey, you know, if you did this, you'd probably have a better outcome, or, you know, try this technique, or, you know, I thought you could have done this or that. And it just quickly becomes, you know, that's just how they receive it. So in the last couple of years, I've backed off, I think, of quite a bit of really trying to critique, you know, the stuff I see. But, you know, this year, both of them, I thought their effort over the course of the year, it was great. And, you know, that's what, as a coach, and I coach, you know, youth teams as well, you really can only preach attitude and effort, and you can't always get the great performances, but you try to teach kids that, hey, if you have the right mindset, you're not pouting or you're not complaining and worrying about yourself or worrying about your ice time, and then if your effort's there and it looks like you're giving it, you know, at least 90%, maybe 100%, somewhere in that range, that's all you can really ask for. And so, gotten a little bit better at not focusing on the mistakes. And this year, and having a senior, I really just kind of tried to go to the games and enjoy it.
What, your 6'6" son, Brett, he's a senior. What's next for him?
Well, you know, he'd like to keep playing at the next level and play college hockey. He doesn't have any offers at this point, so we'll be looking at there's junior leagues, and so there's the North American Hockey League, there's the United States Hockey League, there's the British Columbia Hockey League, and those three are probably really good options for Brett to try and find a team to play for. And so kind of sorting through that right now. He applied to a handful of schools just as a senior in high school, and he was accepted to those schools. So he has options to just go straight into college, but that's not what he wants to do. He wants to play at the next level, so he's trying to navigate the junior hockey systems and hopefully get some scouts and some recruiters to hopefully like him enough to step up and make an offer.
Tom, I've known you for many years, so I know you are a humble person by nature. Does it embarrass you, given your cup-winning equity and the recent success of your kids? You and your wife kind of run the current first family of hockey. Does that embarrass you?
Sure. Well, in all fairness, there was another family that had a son on the boys' side and two daughters on the girls' side.
Nice.
So we have to share. We have to share at least that co championship kids title. But you know, I think it seems like on the outside that, yeah, as a former NHLer, and that I'm probably putting everything I've got into my kids, and that's why their hockey turned out so well for them. But as we talked about earlier, you know, they had some natural ability. Yes, we put them into it, and we encouraged them, and we kind of stoked that fire. But we let them, and to their credit, another reason why they don't really like me harping on them or talking to them too much about it is, you know, they want it to be their thing.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, I got this. You don't have to tell me everything and show me everything. I get it. You used to play, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I think we're proud of them. And you just hope that people don't assume that it's all just because, you know, I played pro hockey and that was part of the Stanley Cup that I'm pushing them into this thing. And so I think, unless it's not really embarrassing, it's just you worry a little bit that people have the perception that you're like a crazy hockey family or something.
Great job, man. Thanks a lot for the chat, and we'll catch up soon, okay?
Hey, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Tom Chorsky, Edina's Tom Chorsky on the 9 to Noon radio show, talking about his kids, Hannah and Brett Chorsky, each champions this year with the Edina Hornets and the Boys and Girls High School Hockey Tournament. Second half of the radio presentation around the corner. It's 9 to Noon. Good morning.
You're listening to PA.
Time for two more.
On the studios.
Hey, Twin Cities. It's March. which means it's time to watch some college hoops, of course. Head on over to KFAN.com, keyword March, to learn where you can win a 43-inch TCL 4K TV this month. It's presented by Dos Equis. Keep it interesante.
Main man Leo in studio 15 minutes from now. Back to the NFL, back to free agency now, and at 11:15. Good morning. It's 9 to noon.
News du Nord.
Brought to you by Canterbury's Card Casino. Poker, blackjack, table games all year round. It's all good. Just go to CanterburyPark.com for all the event details.
Number one.
And PA, we will get into NFL free agency as the names continue to drop via social media and other spots.
Yeah.
New players, new faces, new towns, new hope, new life. But let's start with this.
Crowd booing as Couture will move across the Minnesota blue line. Moves in on Dubnyk. He shoots. He scores. He's successful on the penalty shot. Logan Couture adds to his goal total as the Sharks bump their lead now to 3-0. And for Couture, that's goal number 24.
Goal number 24 for Mr. Couture, who was smooth as hashtag our ice on that penalty shot last night. 3-0 is indeed the final score. Yep. That propels the Sharks to best in the West. They catapult over the Calgary Flames. Meanwhile, I guess if we're going to do this...
It's hashtag Faith Radio.
Yes, I gotta have faith.
And today's daily NHL scoreboard watching and rooting for teams to lose so the Minnesota Wild make the playoffs update.
Yes, we do.
That's where we're at as the Minnesota Wild. They can't win at home. I think it's 1-5-3 in their last 9, and I don't think they've won in regulation at home since the middle of January. So things are poor for the Minnesota Wild playing at XL Energy Center these days. However, in terms of being in the playoffs, they're still currently in the 8th spot in the West because the Arizona Coyotes went to United Center and just got waxed by the Chicago Blackhawks, who are slowly but surely sneaking their way back into the relevance-related conversation.
Really?
Well, I mean, they're 5 points back from the Wild.
Yeah.
And so I understand that. They have 13 games left. I get the math, and it seems unlikely. But when the Coyotes can't take control of a spot, when the Avalanche, I think they lost to the Carolina Hurricanes last night, when they can't snag a spot, and the Blackhawks just continue to win games, their third straight last night, that puts them in a spot where they're pesky, and we don't want that with all these overs and all these goals that they're scoring in the mix. So as of now, Wild still in the 8th spot, 74 points through 70 games, 12 left to go for the Wild, most of them at home, 7 more, I believe. 4 more on this road trip. The next one is something that 9 to noon's going to be pumping up big time because Thursday when the Dallas Stars come to town, that's a big one. They're in the 7th seed, the first wild card spot. We'll be in attendance for Vox in the Box doing show in the penalty box.
AZ 1 behind us, right?
Yes, indeed, yeah.
Colorado 2 behind us?
That is accurate.
We are 1 behind Dallas for the first wild card, correct?
That is also correct, yes.
And Dallas is the bill of fare on Thursday for the distraction factor. Dallas plays, I believe, this evening.
Yeah, let me find that info for you.
Yeah, I can't. Dallas feels like Dallas is on the road this evening.
At Sabres.
Yeah, at Sabres. So it's meaty, man. I think we got 12 left. Completely meaty. Holding on. Very hard to do when love is gone. Can't win at home. 14-14-6. Weird, crazy. Our ice used to be one of the real dominating home ice advantages in the NHL. Now it's 14-14-6. So we'll see what happens Thursday.
Number two.
Last bit before we get into football, PA. Any quick twitch you have? You know, a situation that has mostly already been decided as the Wolves are 6 games out of a playoff spot. They do go to Denver tonight to face the Nuggets.
Yeah.
Karl-Anthony Towns, at least as of this moment, listed as questionable.
Okay.
The quote being right knee inflammation. Covington, of course, already out. That's not, you know, no change there. Anything interesting about playing the Nuggets tonight with Jamal Murray and Jokic and those guys?
Not really. You know, it's with Covington, it's if there has been a setback of any sort, you have him. He's under contract for like 3 or 4 more years here.
Yeah.
Let's just forget about that. With Keita, Bates, Diop. Let's continue to play him 25-31. See what we can get there. Elevate Tyus's minutes a little bit. Hopefully Derrick Rose has fun in what could be his final games with the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Let's get Dario and Bates Diop. They've had a couple of moments when they're together on the court where it seems like they have natural cohesion. That's about it. Denver, one of the better teams in the Western Conference. Very, very good at home.
Number three.
To the NFL with free agency in play, many Vikings fans are well aware that Anthony Barr has moved on. He is signing a contract tomorrow when players are able to sign said contracts with their new teams, with the New York Jets. Joining him with the Jets is consummate Pro Bowl linebacker quality C.J. Mosley, courtesy of the Ravens. So those two linebackers head to the New York Jets. Sheldon Richardson has reportedly agreed to a three-year, $39 million contract with $21.5 million of it guaranteed with the Cleveland Browns. So both Anthony Barr and Sheldon Richardson moving on. Vikings did sign Shamar Stephan. We knew of him from his days out of UConn onto practice squad / sparingly playing into getting big spot maneuvering in 2017. Leaves to Seattle. Now he's back.
Yeah.
And he's only going to count on a three-year deal, $2.3 million against the cap in 2019.
Okay.
That's something the cap-strapped Vikings really, really like. So Shamar Stephan in the mix. Now, additionally, some other moves. I'm going to rattle through them. You let me know what you think.
Okay.
Teddy Bridgewater, former Vikings quarterback, has shunned the idea of becoming a starter with the Miami Dolphins to signing a one-year deal to remain as the backup to Drew Brees in New Orleans.
I wonder if Teddy has steam that when Drew's done, Teddy is the next guy.
I got to find the reporter via Twitter, but somebody spoke to Sean Payton at the Combine and said, you know, what are you thinking about post-Drew Brees? And he says, I, quote, already have my guy. His name is Teddy Bridgewater.
Okay.
So that's the vibe that they're putting out there in New Orleans.
If it's a one-year deal, is this Drew Brees' last year coming up?
Well, speculation central.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably a one-year deal because if it is, now he gets to sign for a starter contract. If it's not, then maybe he signs another one-year deal.
Right.
Or he's like, my God, he's trying to pull this Tom Brady thing. It's going to be five more years and I'm going to move on.
Yeah.
Ryan Shazier, in a classy move by the Pittsburgh Steelers, from my opinion, they are keeping Ryan Shazier, linebacker, Pittsburgh Steelers. Nasty injury left him unable to walk. Now he's walking again and getting things back physically. But they're keeping him on the physically unable to perform list for 2019. They're paying him his base salary and allowing him to maintain those types of benefits, the medical insurance and all of that, as he continues to rehab from that nasty neck injury that he's sustained.
Completely agree with you. Super classy move by the Roonies.
Juwan James, offensive lineman, Miami Dolphins, no longer in Florida. He signs a four-year, $51 million deal with the Broncos.
I like Juwan James. The price tag, right tackle for the Dolphins. The price tag, you know, if you're looking at it from a Vikings perspective, whether it's James, whether it is trading for Kelechi Osemele, whether it's super special Billy Turner, these numbers are too big for this team. But these numbers league wide for some of these players, specifically Landon Collins, they're massive. They're just exorbitant. And
well, based on his contract with Collins, tell me if you're okay with this.
Yeah.
Because apparently...
Who's the guy who went to Cincinnati on the offensive line? And he got like $7 million a year.
Oh, Bobby Hart.
I couldn't believe that.
Well, he was from New York, hideous. I think he was with the Bengals last year. And they re-signed him at $7 million per.
Yeah.
When he's getting $7 million, that's why it sounds ridiculous. I think the best signing the Vikings might make at this stage is just getting Nick Easton back into the fold.
Right.
In terms of what they can afford. At any rate... with Landon Collins, all that money, like $85 million or whatever, if you boil it down, it's essentially 3 years and $35 million because they can cut him after that third season. Would you be cool if I put it to you like that?
Well, I like Landon. I'm not trying to disparage Landon Collins. Landon is a very good player. But when you start to get up in the stratosphere like that, I just look for more multifaceted safeties.
Yes.
You know, in this day and age of the NFL, with the way things are going with quarterbacks and pass rushers and offensive linemen, those are three things, in my opinion, with all due respect, that matter more than safeties. Especially safeties who I don't remember Landon Collins being a very good blitzing safety or a super good pass covering safety. Now, a really good in the box, run stuffing kind of safety. Maybe that's exactly what they need.
We got some details on Billy Turner's contract with the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. Billy Turner, offensive line, Minnesota native, was with the Broncos, Miami previously to that. Now he's a member of the Green and Gold.
Yeah.
And it's a 4-year, $28 million deal with incentives to push it to 29.5.
Yeah.
And he'll make 11 in his first season.
I don't recall much about Billy from his run in Denver. Now he'll play right guard, you know, and as we mentioned, they had problems at right guard last year. So that is a step to fix a problem. They had to pay for it, and I'm sure he'll help.
And then just quickly before we head to break here, LaMarcus Joyner was franchise tagged by the Rams. He's expected to join the Oakland Raiders. So yeah. The Raiders have been as busy as anyone in free agency.
Yeah, LaMarcus is good because he can play nickel. So with LaMarcus Joyner, you can play him inside in a hybrid corner safety type situation. LaMarcus has gotten really good over the years.
And then one I just find it interesting, and it kind of goes to what you're talking about, the stratosphere of cash. I don't understand it. Devin Funchess, a 1-year, $13 million deal with the Colts. I just don't get that.
Yeah, I think that's relatively close. I mean, it might be. First of all, it's only 1 year. Secondly, with the salary cap where it is, specifically what the Colts had to spend, and their need, T.Y. Hilton is explosive and he breaks games. Devin Funchess is not a stretch-the-field explosive kind of guy.
Red zone guy?
Yeah, he's a red zone guy, a chains-moving kind of guy. The Michigan kid is really sturdy and stout, very, very tough to check off the line. So, I mean, I guess, you know, we can nickel and dime it and be like, what, should it have been 8? Should it have been 9? Should it have been 12 or 13?
Good point.
The fact that it's 1 year and it helps Luck with the nice tight ends they have and T.Y. Hilton. I like that move for Indianapolis. Leo in studio next, then more football at about 11:15, 9 to noon.
9 to noon.
You're listening to PA.
See what's up with Rube Nation. Troy?
What's up, PA?
What's up?
When you speak, I listen, PA.
On the Fan.
I know, right?
Lido missed the boat that day. He left the shack. But that was all.
Pull on net. That's it. Pull.
My man Jordan Leopold played with the Gophers from 98 to 2002, won a national championship, Captain Leopold. In his final season, won the Hobie Baker as college hockey's most outstanding player, had a 14-year career in the National Hockey League. He's in studio with us now. Leo, without Johnny Paul. What's up, main man Leo? How are you?
You know what? I'm doing all right. First time I've sat in my seat for a while here. I have not been on the air for quite some time.
What, is the chair weird? Yeah, why no Beyond the Pond?
I couldn't do it with the kids. Too many kids.
I understand.
You know, it fell right in the middle of hockey time for
my daughter. Love you on Beyond the Pond.
Yeah.
Fallen is doing terrific work. Micheletti by his side. Show's fantastic.
Mick. Old Mick. I love giving him a hard time, so I kind of miss it.
Well, with Mick Tockett, Pat Micheletti, you know, he is an in-studio guest 9 to noon every Monday. So we'll recap some college hockey, chat wild, chat NHL. And one of his common threads is for the Wild, if and or when they make the playoffs, to fall in a spot where they catch teams from the Pacific, from the San Jose, Calgary, Kings, Anaheim portion of the equation. Might want to pump the brakes a little bit on that after what we saw from San Jose last night.
Yeah, San Jose is probably going to be one of those teams that is going to be reckoned with. And they're missing two of their players last night.
They got players you played
with
against.
Kane, Carlson.
You played against Pavelski?
Oh, yeah. No,
what about Jumbo Joe Thornton?
Jumbo's one of the best players ever played a game.
Yeah.
I mean, just be sad. He's not an exclusive goal scorer, but he has the vision of like we've never seen before. I mean, just phenomenal talent. And then especially in our conference, you got to deal with the Nashvilles of the world,
mm-hmm.
who ended up getting a couple good guys at the deadline.
Yep.
You got to deal with the Winnipegs. You got to go through them. And, you know, it's
just when you count out Chicago, you realize they have Kane and Taves.
Yeah, and they're really hot, but they're still on the outside looking in for a playoff spot. But if they stay as hot as they are, they're going to be a team that's going to be right there in one of those wild card spots.
As a game-changing defenseman for a million teams, but including Calgary, Columbus, St. Louis, and most recently the Minnesota Wild. Ever have any cool Patrick Kane moments? You know, as he was like streaking to the net, and you were the last line of defense, and I don't know, maybe the kid from Buffalo, New York, like put a sweet little move on you?
It wasn't me, but I remember having a first row seat for one of his best goals ever. Or no, it's actually a Taze goal. We were playing in Colorado, and it was one of the goals that Taze scored where he just goes through our whole team.
Ah.
I remember Scott Hannon was a defenseman and Brett Clark, two of my buddies, and I'm sitting there in the front row going, oh boy, that's
who was your coach?
That's going to be on the highlights. Joel Quenneville at the time.
Quenneville was your coach?
Yeah, in Colorado before he went to Chicago.
Okay, yeah, Quenneville from the bench.
Yep. Stop him! Stop him! Stop him!
He just wanted somebody to stop Taves.
Pretty much. I remember in the locker room, it was kind of what he said.
Wow, you played for Q.
Yeah,
I that's right. For Q. Q with Colorado.
Yeah.
Then Q with the Blackhawks. Then Q dead, and Quenneville undoubtedly hot head coaching candidate.
Absolutely.
In this upcoming offseason, right?
Yeah, depending on what happens, you don't know what's going to happen here.
what was Joe Quenneville like? Good guy to play for?
At the time, yeah, he was a great player's coach. We had Joe Sakic was our captain, mm-hmm. and to come to the rink every day, I was injured a lot. So I think he was quite frustrated with me because I just could not kick the injury bug. I think I played.
Come on, Leo, maybe, suck it up.
Yeah, exactly. I maybe played a year and a half in three seasons there. It was a lot of downtime, but good guy to play with. I don't think we saw eye to eye when I was healthy because I wanted to be in the lineup, and he wouldn't put me in because he was so used to me being out of the lineup.
Wow.
And then
did you flash him the Hobie?
No.
And say, remember me?
No, not at all. Not at all. It doesn't matter to him. He's Canadian. but yeah, at the end of his term there in Colorado, it was tense. It got tense with him. Anytime a coach knows they're in a tough position coaching wise,
yeah,
they do things that are so out of characteristic. You know, just their attitude, their mentality totally changes, and you can tell that it's almost like the white flag, they're waving it. And, you know, it was time for a change, and I think he understood that too. But he ended up getting a great gig and going to Chicago and winning a few cups there.
So of all the places you played and the players with whom you played, never played with Jumbo Joe, right?
Never played with him.
Seems
just against him.
Well, mutual friend Alexander Stalock played with Jumbo Joe in San Jose. So this is something I think Stalock told me years ago about Joe Thornton. Just what a fantastic teammate and in the room kind of guy he is, like keeping things. I mean, he's obviously hockey immortality.
Yep.
This weekend he scored a goal against St. Louis, and I think he has like the 14th most points in the history of the NHL. He's like right behind Paul Coffey. So, I mean, that's immortality. But you know better than anybody, you can be good, you can be fast, you can stay healthy, you can get cup cred. Your in-the-room cred matters a lot, too.
Well, it's your respect. You know, guys respect him because of how he treats others, and that's he'll stick up for guys, and that's what I've heard. I mean, one of my better friends, Paul Martin, he played with them, loved him.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like best buddies. Look at their beards.
Yeah.
And Paul had the same beard. I don't know what the deal is with this beard thing, but
right.
I respected him as a player. Absolutely. Played the game, you know, between the lines, fair. Never really lipped off to you, but when he was on the ice, you absolutely respected his game. And off the ice, if I brought my son down to meet him, he'd probably oblige and say, absolutely, bring him on over. You know, so those kind of guys are well regarded, and I missed that part of the game. You know, seeing all the guys. You know, I didn't play with them, no, but we're all part of this brotherhood that when you see these guys, you know, they're open arms. I was in D.C. this past week and went to a game and saw T.J. Oshie.
Yeah.
I played with a couple of years, and he brought myself down with my family, and my family got some pictures with him. And
very nice.
He was very gracious, and the guys in the locker room, being the locker room attendants and even other teammates, were really great with us as well.
I got some cool topics for you, and I want to get into those momentarily. But first, what is happening Saturday at Mississippi Gardens? It's called Sweet Keys Dueling Pianos.
Yeah, so this is a group put on by SAVE, which is Suicide Awareness Voices of Education. And I lost my mom, gosh, a little bit over 3 years ago to suicide, and it never really came out. So we being my wife and I, kind of partnered up with the SAVE group, and I thought we'd come up with a creative idea to raise money and awareness for suicide and try to prevent this more than anything. So this Saturday, 6 p.m., we got a wonderful event with a small program, and then we get these Sweet Keys guys, and these are the guys that were on E-Block that would be at the bars, I think more of the Irish bars than anything, but they'd be down there playing their dueling pianos, and people would sing along, kind of Billy Joel style.
Yeah.
So we're going to have an event this Saturday. Tickets are on sale. I think they're $60 a piece. You just go to save.org.
Save.org.
Save.org, and you scroll down, and there's a picture, and just click on it and be able to reserve tickets if you'd like.
Mississippi Gardens, Brooklyn Center.
Brooklyn Park. Yep.
What time does it begin?
6 o'clock. Six to ten.
Outside of the dueling pianos, like, what's the evening like?
Probably more cocktailish.
Yeah.
Go around and then serve some. I don't know if we have apps or if it's a full dinner or not. But the idea is to get these guys on the piano.
Yeah.
And have a good time for a few hours. And there will be some silent auction items. Probably there may be a live auction. I'm not positive on that yet. But
yeah. Save.org.
Save.org. That's right. I mean, we've both dealt with our problems, and you know, I think it's great. We get, especially owning a venue with my wife and I, we run across some very special people through the Twin Cities, and some hit our heart, and you know, we're able to help, and that's what we're doing here.
I've known you 20 years, man, and you know, you and I, whether it's kids related, whatever related, you and I have shared a lot with each other off the microphone, and
yeah,
you know, we've opened up a lot to each other, and hopefully, you know, through brain injury organization, stuff like that, we've shared a lot with each other. I never knew this about your mom, and maybe not many did know this about your mom. And I mean, here we are in 2019, Leo. 2015's not that long ago.
No.
So I mean, that, you know, and it's, death is death. But, you know, the way you've explained this just in passing, oh, my God, bless you, man. I mean, that, you and your family, that's tough.
Well, and here's the thing. For the people that really know me behind the scenes, I had a very, very tough relationship with my mom. I was estranged from her for 15 years before she passed away.
Wow.
And that was due to mental illness. You know, mental illness was dragging me down. And I had to make a really tough choice between, do I stay down this road and, you know, possibly find myself in the same position. I've, throughout my career, I've had concussions. I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis when I was 15 years old, and I've been battling that for a very, very long time as well. And I think the ulcerative colitis ended up coming because of the stresses I had because of my mom through my childhood.
Yeah.
So eventually I had to, sadly, eliminate that. And then to get a phone call the next November, from after I got done with an ultimate high, being playing for the Wild and my daughter, letter, and
yep,
you know, PA.
What letter? What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. The one that made your career.
Oh, the one where I met your wife in the lobby, yeah, of this radio station?
Yeah, and she handed you over and a note. She said, don't tell anybody?
She said, hey, I know your show begins in 10 minutes. I'm changing the course of not only your entire show today, but of the entire National Hockey League. Because you're going to read this letter on the radio.
Yeah, that's exactly what,
yes,
she said.
Yes, I did.
She said, you know, make sure everybody gets a hold of this. We make a big deal and make PA a superstar.
Yeah. 9 to noon leveraged the Wild for you into a lot of cash.
I wish it were that story, but, you know, you went with it. And, you know, I'm glad everything worked out, because here's the one thing that I tell my wife and my family and other people is
the letter, though.
When that letter came out, if I did not get traded to the Wild, say I got traded to Montreal, they would crucify me.
Why?
Well, because I wanted to be at home in Minnesota, and they would have taken it other direction.
Leo, the letter
would have been ugly.
The letter wasn't about you. The letter was about your Jordan at that time was what age? 12?
10.
Okay,
10,
your 10-year-old daughter formulating two opinions. One, I miss my daddy. Two, Chuck Fletcher, you need to do a better job with the blue line.
Yeah.
Okay, so there were two opinions formulated there. And it could have been Montreal, could have been Calgary, could have been Florida. Oh, you played for all those teams, by the way, except Montreal.
Yeah.
Played for Florida, played for Calgary, and ended up being here.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool because we went public with it and leveraged Chuck Fletcher into making that move.
Yep. Well, you absolutely leveraged him. I'm sure he was listening to the show the whole time.
Hey, help Leo's family and heighten awareness for this cause. Save.org. It is Saturday night. And when I say help the family, that's more so, it's not a financial thing. Show up, support, learn. Save.org, Saturday night. Sweet Keys Dueling Pianos. What a great night at Mississippi Gardens. Save.org. All right, quickly on the pro team. Team's 14-14-6 at home. I mean, that's just, that's antithetical to anything we've ever known with the Wild. They've won one game in regulation at home. It was against Columbus, another one of your former teams, January 19th.
I was going to say, what, two months?
It's almost 2 months. Yeah. I mean, why? How? Why?
I don't know. You go through these funks. I think I was in a funk when I played in Calgary. We came off Stanley Cup year, and then we had a lockout, and then the next year. I remember getting booed off the ice a couple times. And as a player, it strikes a chord. It really does. And these guys have been booed off the ice a couple times. I don't know what the deal is. I don't. Sometimes it just comes easy, and then other times you're just fighting it. What are they? Maybe won one game in regulation over the last five.
Oh.
And you look at the stats. I mean, I have it printed out right here, but it's win or lose five, win five.
We shut out Tampa.
Yeah.
Leo, you shut out Tampa. Teams. You got to make the playoffs.
Like, the team is playing to the competition that we're playing and just kind of going along. And then there's been some changes, obviously. You got two guys that are very important in this lineup out with Dumba and Miko.
Why do you think Miko is so important? Because there are some Wild fans within my covenant that look at his faceoff percentage, which is not upper echelon, and they look at goals or lack thereof, and they're like, oh, we sure miss Miko. But I try to tell them, because it's been told to me by those on the inside, Miko's presence within a team with personalities like this means a lot. Am I wrong here?
Well, he fits. He doesn't do just one thing extremely well. He does a lot of things well, and it is to the benefit of the people who play with him. So when you miss a guy that is good at a lot of different things, it kind of takes the wind out of the sail a little bit. Yeah. And not to say you can't win without him. Absolutely you can. But for him to fill that hole, he's your guy that took all the faceoffs. He's the guy, first line center. He's got power play time, even though he's not a super duper power play guy. But at least when you look at their power play right now, it's, I believe, 0 for 18 in the past five games. Yeah. That's a telling tale.
And we're still a playoff team.
Yes, and just watching last night, their entries. And what that means is when they're coming up the ice, being able to weave and gain the blue line and get into that zone with control, it just hasn't been there. And losing Granlund was a guy that did that.
Playmaker.
Losing him with his silky little mitts and his moves it just kills that power play. So you may see them go more to a dump and chase now, which means just get the puck in deep and go try to get it.
I got a college hockey topic for you I need to get into.
I can only imagine.
Give me another segment, okay?
All right, sounds good.
Leo in studio again Saturday night. Sweet Keys Dueling Piano. Sounds like a lot of fun at Leopold's Mississippi Gardens. You can Google that, learn more about the establishment. The cause, very, very significant, very important. Save.org. SAVE.ORG. Back after this.
You're listening to PA.
You got that from Vickers. Work in Essex County, page 98, right? Yeah, I read that too. Were you going to plagiarize the whole thing for us? Do you have any thoughts of your own on this matter?
On the Fan.
Trip.
Hey.
to Sheehy. Not in the wheelhouse. Passes down low for McManus. Back to Sheehy. Across for Pitlett. He scores! There's a one-timer. And it's 4-0 on the power play.
Hey, Nordo.
Hey, what up, PA?
Latavius Murray.
4-14 and change, right? Saints.
With the New Orleans Saints. Latavius Murray, 4-14-4. Saints. Kamara, Ingram, K-Train. Welcome back to 9 to Noon, 11:25. Another segment with college hockey immortality. Jordan Leopold won the Hobie. College hockey's most outstanding player. 01-02 season, correct, Leo?
Correct.
For that final season at the U. We just heard a highlight with a goal by Rem Pitlick, who is... He's like Hobie Baker winning good. Might not win it, but very good. You know, the Golden Gophers have a goalie named Robson, one of the better in the country, and they have this freshman named Sammy Walker, got all his albums. I was there at Mississippi Gardens when he opened for Bootsy Collins and covered Harry Hippie. Sammy Walker, the freshman, is one of the better freshmen in the country. So with all that said, your former team is at Notre Dame this weekend. Your former team, despite what experts are telling me, having a Hobie candidate as the best player, one of the best goalies in the country, and Sammy Walker, I have all his albums, on the grind, having to win the Big Ten tournament to get into the NCAA tournament. But the A topic with this team from the weekend, and if it's not, it should be, you know, there are those who can be like, Gophers hockey, you don't know what you're missing. It's a team that went to Ohio State, swept that team. ASU was the cat's ass, came here, tried to play by prison rules, got swept by the Golden Gophers. Notre Dame came here, they swept. I think they were low-scoring games, but tightly contested. Program chugging along for Motzko, clearly on the improve. And quite honestly, with the way it's playing now, clearly, in my opinion, NCAA tournament worthy, even though it may not make said tournament. However, the 2 days of games against Michigan, Leo, seriously, there were fewer than 1,000 people. I know they sold 1,800 tickets to the Friday night game. I know we had state high school hockey tournament transpiring. The Wolves even had a game on Saturday, you know, for those who are looking for that diversion. I know we had bad weather on Saturday. I understand the whole thing. But to fall off from crowds that have been problematic, period, where when a rube like me watches, I see a fair amount of open seats. Now, I'm Leo and Johnny Paul trained, so I don't expect everything to be hopping like Mariucci, late 90s, early zeros, or XL Energy Center with Maine trying to come in here and ruin dreams. I'm not even expecting that. It was unbelievable how few people were there, Leo, on Friday and Saturday. There has to be a more deeply rooted problem with this than state high school hockey tournament and play, bad weather, Wolves in play, you know?
Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at the picture right now. This was a hot topic with my former alumni that I went to school with, who we all have a thread going. And actually, Eric Wendell sent me a picture and said, look at this. And when I saw the picture, oh my goodness! I don't know what it is. You said 1,800. Okay, I'm looking at the picture right now from the City Pages article. Going, all right. There's maybe 800.
Yeah.
You know, I can't believe it. I mean, as big as it is, you know, you're playing Michigan, who we used to be big rivals when I was in school. And Johnny and I went.
Red Berenson, right?
Yeah, it was Red, but now it's his assistant that coaches a team.
Mm-hmm. I used to coach at Michigan Tech.
Yeah.
I think his name is Mel.
Yes, Mel Pearson.
Yeah.
He went away for a couple of years to get the head coaching cred and come back and coach team. But Johnny and I went down there probably over a month ago and actually addressed the team. And one of the things that we said is, you know, we're almost apologetic that I don't think the players will get the same opportunity and have the same experience that we had when we were in school, where you have 10,000 screaming fans every time you lace them up at home.
If the Frozen Four is at the X and they make it there, they will.
Yeah.
They would have the same experience you had.
They would for that period of time.
For that, yeah.
But I'm saying home games. You know, you come home, you play Wisconsin, big rival. You know, and they had good crowds against them this year. But, you know, you're playing ASU, it doesn't matter. It didn't matter if we were playing a Canadian university. The place would still be packed.
But why?
I don't know if times have changed as far as saturation of hockey. There's so much hockey out there.
Ticket prices, though.
Ticket prices are something that needs to take a hard look. And if I'm sitting here going, okay, how do we make money at the university? Well, give away the seats so they spend it in the concession stands.
Right.
Something. You get the parking, you get all that. And, but to have so-called 1,800 people in the stands, it doesn't give a very good experience, number one, for the players. So now it comes down to recruiting. Why would I want to go to the University of Minnesota? There's nobody in the stands.
Yeah.
You know, that's a tough thing to swallow. I mean, especially for a Minnesota guy like myself. And somebody that comes from here, it doesn't matter if you played at the U or went to the U, you're looking at it like this is the place where you want to play. But when you see an empty stadium like that, and yeah, with all the distractions that were going along, I mean, that, it should have still had 5,000 people. I mean, this was a big series for the Gophers because if they don't win that series, they're surely dead. They're not going to NCAAs. But now, like you said before we even started this conversation, is the team is escalating. And they are playing better and better and better as they go. So they're playing their best hockey of their season, and they have a good chance of getting an NCAAs now as a at bid. Or if they win the tournament this weekend, they get in automatic.
Yeah, I think they got to win the tournament to get in from that super special pairwise bit.
Yeah. But, I mean, and you saw what happened to UMD last year. You know, they got in by .001 and ended up winning a national championship. So. Yeah. There's a lot of different scenarios. They just need to win. And that's kind of what Johnny and I said when we went down there. You guys win and the rest will take care of itself. And I still don't know, even if they do win.
But that didn't happen with the crowds.
If they're going to be able to fill the stadium. I just don't know. Between Big Ten.
Yeah.
The creation of the Big Ten.
And this is a habit state, man.
Ticket prices. And the saturation of hockey everywhere.
Right.
And hockey, I know this too. As a parent, hockey is becoming much more demanding at the youth level. So instead of taking your kid to a hockey game on Friday, it's like, oh, no, we're going to go to the greatest trainer on earth on Friday night instead of go to a game, instead of take it in. So that's part of it as well. And then the Wild are right there competing with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in school, the Wild were only there for a year or two. So the next hottest ticket was Gopher hockey, and we were very successful at that.
Right. Time. You know, and Mankato, Duluth, St. Cloud, the three closest to you, they have been and are good. You know, so they're, even if it's a handful of fans.
Well, St. Cloud sold out their two games or whatever it was this past weekend. Yes, here, well, in St. Cloud.
Well, yeah. But what I'm saying is those in fringe markets looking to come to Mariucci to take in games there, they may be going to other venues.
Correct.
You know, to watch these teams because these teams are, they're putting guys in the end. They have high-enders and they're good and they have national championship aspirations.
Yep. Yep.
And so that plays into your saturation bit, but it's a habit state, man. You know better than anybody from your series you had with St. Cloud and the series this team had with North Dakota, with Parisi and or Taves, with the Bulldogs, with Stalock and whomever. Mankato, you know, back Shane Joseph, Grant Stevenson, David Backus, so on.
Look at you.
The deeply rooted nature of these rivalries because you're living around and working with people who went to Mankato, St. Cloud, and Duluth. So now you get that Vikings-Packers little trash-talking thing going.
Yep.
You're probably not running into too many Penn State hockey fans.
No.
You know what I mean? Or Ohio State hockey fans.
You're not. And we had a contingency that used to travel with us everywhere we went. And now the travel is so far and it's hard to get people to Penn State and Notre Dame and all these places. They don't want to travel that far. These are people that work 9-to-5 jobs and want to be able to travel less than 4 hours away.
Yeah.
I mean, even Houghton, Michigan, when we went up to Tech, we had a contingency that traveled up there, stayed with a team. We got to know a lot of these people. They're kind of like little groupies, but it was fun. It was a lot of fun. I don't see that as much as we had at all. I mean, obviously pictures can say 1,000 words, but I mean, this picture that I'm staring at right now is completely depressing. It's, you know, what do we call it? Paint yourself the color of the seat night.
Mikko Nordo?
Was there any decline between maybe after you guys win the titles and then kind of leading up to that Big Ten switch. And the reason I ask is I think about it in the 90s, post-North Stars, pre-Wild, yep. The best hockey show in town was the Gophers.
Yeah.
Wild come back. There's some mediocrity in the mix, et cetera. They make the one run, I think, in 03 or something like that. But, you know, leading up to it, do you think any part of it is just taking, you know, the combination of not winning titles every year combined with the pro element now in St. Paul, you know, leading to kind of a bit of casual fans becoming more apathetic to it?
Well, don't quote me on this, but there's something to be of the success that we had in the early 2000s, and then all of a sudden ticket prices escalating. And
okay.
I believe in order to get season tickets, you had to buy football and maybe one other sport.
I don't know about that.
There may be something to that. But
postseason tickets for the Gophers used to be tied into season ticket packages. And I think for the first year this year, it wasn't.
Yep.
I mean, that might have been an organizational mistake.
Well, and is that the Gopher faithful saying, you know, these ticket prices are too high or something? I don't know what it is. But, I mean, the Big Ten, the formation of the Big Ten, absolutely it changed the dynamic of the rivalries. You know, it is what it is, and that's what we're going to deal with, and we're going to try to make it as best as we can.
Maybe ticket prices are too high there.
How do you get people back to the stadium? I mean, it's lower ticket prices and get more people in the stadium and make it a better atmosphere. And I'd love to bring my entire team. Mm-hmm. It's just too much.
Did you say, PA, that it's free for students at Huskies games in St. Cloud?
Yes, I believe at St. Cloud State University, the students get into hockey games at no charge, which means you have a built-in X amount of students who are going to be appreciative, rowdy and loud, and give you a legitimate Al Rice home ice advantage.
Yes. Oh, and when we went to North Dakota, they used to be free as well at the old Ingolstadt. There'd be a line to get in the games.
Yeah.
With that line throwing snowballs at the Gopher team bus.
No, that was Puffy.
Yeah, Puffy. R.I.P. buddy. But no, it used to be a hard place to play, and we used to love using it to our advantage, but
yeah.
I don't know if there's that much advantage to playing in front of 1,800 people. It's very, it's very tough.
Hopefully they beat Notre Dame. I like Bob Motzko. In closing, for those who may have missed it, Saturday night, Leopold's Mississippi Gardens in Brooklyn Park. Sweet Keys Dueling Pianos. You can learn more via save.org, SAVE.org. And I know you got to kind of grin and bear it when you share the reason, but for those who missed it, share it again. And what will you be doing on Saturday night?
Well, I'll be going around saying hi to everybody like I do. Like, I lost my mom three plus years ago, and it's definitely not anything that anybody wants to go through. I got another friend, Paul Martin, who's same thing. He's got a Shine a Light Foundation.
Yep.
It's a very common problem in our today's society, and it's sad, but the only way we can battle it is through you know, people sharing funds and actually spreading the word and educating.
Sweet Keys Dueling Pianos, save.org, Mississippi Garden Saturday. Thank you, Leo.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to PA.
I think a good lesson to be learned from this is control your emotions immediately after the game and go back and look at the tape, okay, before you jump to conclusion.
On the Fit Now.
I can't wait until tomorrow, 'cause tomorrow might very well be too late.
Hold on to your butts.
I can't wait.
9 to noon.
I can't wait until tomorrow.
P.A.
'Cause tomorrow could never come.
Time for two more.
I know it could end any minute.
Want to hit this one more time before the end of the show. If you want to win $100,000, $100,000, I'm not making that number up, $100,000, all you got to do is join the Fan at the Twin Cities Auto Show this Thursday, March 14th, starting at 4 p.m., and try to crack the code on the KFAN safe. The five-digit code you enter could get you, again, $100,000. But your only shot to open the safe happens this Thursday, so you got to be there. All driven by your greater Twin Cities Honda dealer. More info, KFAN.com, keyword auto show.
All right, so tomorrow, 9 to noon, Nacho Lieber out of the gate. Tomorrow officially begins National Football League free agency.
You know, speaking of NFL free agency, got Nacho Lieber tomorrow. Techie, per usual, in Studio Weekly. Twins and maybe some NBA with that. You know, with NFL free agency and the legal negotiating period that's transpiring right now. And, you know, email and or Twitter or reaction from Vikings fans where 9 to Noon recognizes a year after securing a starting quarterback for 3 years with all guaranteed money. And as we've mentioned, also during that time, locking up one of the best pass rushers in the NFL in Danielle Hunter.
Yep.
Everson Griffin has received big money within the last X amount of years. Eric Kendricks got a big raise into last season. Got the Hitman locked up for a while. Got Xavier Rhodes locked up for a while. You know, and I'm sure I'm missing some. Linval Hungry, Kyle Rudolph has gotten good deals. So it's not just the quarterback when it comes to we are not able to retain Anthony Barr because we signed Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
We're not able to match Cleveland and $21 million guaranteed for Sheldon Richardson. Good for Sheldon. Sheldon took a one-year, $8 million deal with the Minnesota Vikings to play for a team he felt genuinely had a chance to get to the Super Bowl, but also to display his defensive tackle talents so the next season he could get a longer deal for more money. So Sheldon, like Alshon Jeffrey, those are two that come to the top of the head.
Ooh, that's a good example.
Alshon Jeffrey, supposedly there were reports the Minnesota Vikings were in on Alshon Jeffrey. And Jeffrey, when he left the Bears, selected the Eagles. He wanted to go to the Eagles. And, you know, the reports, these are media-related reports, was that Jeffrey had an opportunity to take more years and more money, thus more immediate security, to play for the Minnesota Football Vikings. Alshon opted to go to Philly on a one-year deal and subsequently got himself a longer deal for more money than he would have received in the previous deal. Bet on himself and won. Sheldon Richardson bet on himself and won. Now, these high-enders, when they're betting on themselves, it's not like you and I on the felt. They're not human 16s looking at a team's ace or king.
That's correct.
Okay, they're not hitting 16s into a face.
No, they're not.
No, the high-enders are hitting 6-5 into a 6.
They're doubling on an 11 versus a 5.
And they're getting 9s having to sweat like one thing.
Yep.
The dealer 6-card Charlie into a 21.
But they count and they know that the 5s and 6s are about out.
But they're still gambling on themselves, and Sheldon has won. So it's the perception. Cousins, if you take the entire salary cap and like money the Vikings have left and stuff like that, I don't know what Cousins' percentages of that.
Of the total cap?
Yeah, I'd guess 15.
It's 15.5% roughly.
Okay, I was going to say 13 to 17. Let's go to the middle 15.
Sure.
But the 9 to Noon does feel for the fan base in that, and this I think is true more for you than it is for me, even though we both have rubidity to us, and we both want nothing more from a sports-loving or professional standpoint than for the Minnesota Vikings to make the mission Miami.
Oh, my God.
Hoist the Lombardi and win the Super Bowl.
That is correct, yes.
We want not, professionally speaking, sports-wise, I mean, personally speaking, Chorsky, though.
I mean, that's not bad.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
The girl wins a state title as a freshman and a sophomore, and the 6'6 boy takes one down as a senior. And by the way, it was his net front screen that led to the game-winning goal. So that's like, personally speaking,
yeah,
highest end of child achievement trumps everything. Go ahead and take the Lombardi Mission Miami. High end of child achievement, good health, happiness, and peace trumps everything.
I agree with you.
So, with that said, we feel the pain of Vikings fans who are watching everybody else in advance of Christmas open gifts so that, you know, they're able to open gifts in advance of Christmas.
Sure.
It's like, tomorrow is the what is it? Is it a Roger Saffold? Hey, it's this. That won't be happening tomorrow.
You know what though? In some ways, this is like we got our Christmas gifts early.
Come on.
Is it not? Isn't it a little bit like we got our Christmas gifts early?
Mm-hmm.
We begged mom and dad, okay, it's the day before Christmas. Please let us open one gift. And it was our favorite gift.
What?
And maybe in this case with the Vikings.
Are you on NFL Network's Twitter?
It's Stefon Diggs. No, I am not.
I just got a tweet that indicates Anthony Barr is staying according to NFL Network. I just got a text.
Mike Garofalo,
hold
linebacker.
On,
whoa.
What do we got?
According to Mike Garofalo or Garofalo with NFL Network.
Say it.
Plot twist, exclamation
it.
Point.
Say it.
Linebacker Anthony Barr has decided to agree to terms to remain with the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, my God.
Sources say.
Are you kidding me?
He's not going to be a member of the Jets after all that from 5 minutes ago.
Screw you, Greg Williams. All right, read it again. I want to hear it again.
Plot twist. Linebacker Anthony Barr has decided to agree to terms to remain with the Vikings, sources say.
Come on!
He will not be a member of the New York Jets.
What the hell's happening here?
What is going on?
Did somebody jump? Did somebody just have to be first and like get some stuff out there with 14 a year and ship has sailed and... And Barr and Williams and Mosley, what has happened here?
I don't know what's going on. AB still here.
Come on, but wait, what has happened? How did it happen? That's all we have.
There's no information.
Well,
it's
this
just...
is assuming this guy's right.
I wouldn't see this guy Garofalo, however the hell you want to say it.
He's NFL Network,
but he does not jump. He does not put himself up on steep cliffs or long limbs. He usually reports things that are accurate.
Where did we get? Did we hit the lottery? Where did we get that money?
No, senor!
I have no idea.
The Powerball's not till tomorrow.
It's the power of the purple, and we're very compelled right now.
Do we have somebody who lives in South Carolina or wherever who hit the Powerball 8 months ago, didn't say their name or report, but just turned it in this weekend, and we're giving it to Anthony?
They sold the cryo chamber.
What is happening here? Did we sell the cryo chamber? Oh, my God. Just say it one more time.
Plot twist. Anthony Barr has decided to agree to terms to remain with the Minnesota Vikings.
Come on! All right. Gotta go. Nordo, Brian Heating and Cooling Studios, Fan, Paul Allen. Wow. Take it away.
Thanks to the Paddy Wagon for sponsoring the 9 to Noon Show Wraps. Well, I wrote this when we were still depressed, so just roll with it. We're beaten down, no sense of humor, it just ain't funny. The Vikes are panhandling, can you give them some money? Cap's trapped existence, maybe we knew this from the start. Spielman had a GoFundMe, couldn't even afford Bobby Hart. Penny pinching on a budget, things are tight, like PA's pants when Wabi comes over later tonight. We see others going shopping, we sing a bad song. Fans are acting like they loved Billy Turner all along. He's one of us, and so are you. Tolerate us during 9 to noon, it's what you do. Hopefully by Friday we'll be happy again and feasting. And hey, maybe we'll re-sign Nick Easton.
Breeze under center. Two receivers left. Drew back to pass. Ball's tipped at the line of scrimmage. Intercepted by Anthony Barr, who turns it up to the 25. And he's taken down at the 28-yard line.
I love it, baby.
If it's good news or money, leave a message.
To listen back to a podcast of today's show, visit the Paul Allen Channel on the iHeartRadio app or go to KFAN.com.